good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahare, which means distant thunder, Wendy. And there was some distant thunder last night. My relatives were calling me. Hey, my colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discussed national and Twin City Native American news and events. And as you all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for your COVID-19 questions. They also have a vaccine clinic on Friday, July 30th. From 4 to 6 p.m. It's going to be at the Gustavus Adolphus Lutheran Church. I thought I was going to say that wrong, but I didn't. But it's 1669 Arcade Street in St. Paul, and you could get your free Pfizer vaccine, and they're available for individuals ages 12 and older. They're giving free saliva COVID-19 tests, so if you think you might be infected, please get tested. And it's not the the invasive one that goes in the nose. You just have to spit in a little tube. They have free Indian tacos, and individuals who complete a brief survey will get a $10 gift card. First come, first serve. So again, that's on Friday, July 30th from 4 to 6 at the Gustavus Adolphus Lutheran Church, 1669 Arcade Street in St. Paul.
Well, we were able to run over to the youth vaccine event last Friday, and that was exciting.
That was at the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
NADCI, yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Stately.
Yeah, and our guest was there, and she recognized me with my mask on, which makes me wonder how big my nose really is.
Yeah, the important thing is about that, Robert, is that we saw quite a few people come in to get vaccinated. So that's
great. We have Dr. Stately on today. And then before that, we're going to talk about our little trip up to the deep north and have a little round table, round robin with our team.
Yeah.
And but first, let's go to our teammate. What's her name again?
Ogama.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm getting old.
Come on. Ogama.
No.
Ogama. No. They say that's the first thing to go, Robert.
What's the second?
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. Neither do I, because I can't remember. Hey, Ogama with the news. And you hear – this is the only place you really hear. And when we were up into the deep north talking to people that came up to us, they were saying how great of a job that we did and that the news that we're bringing out and the truth all over Turtle Island. So let's get to Ogama, who does Native news that you don't hear anywhere else, Wendy. Welcome, Ogama.
Hey, Anim Bujo, everybody. This is Ogama Ganuikwe, and I am here with Native Roots Radio to give you some news on what happened in the Stop Line 3 movement this weekend. The first thing that I want to tell everybody is that there is a new Linktree website to help Stop Line 3. The website is linktree.com/helpstopline3 with the number 3. That Linktree will help you get to directly to donate whichever camp you would like to donate. It lists all of the camps, and you click on it. You can make a PayPal donation to any of those camps directly. I know I was talking to our other teammate, Lewis Eagle Thunder, over the weekend about where to send people if they would like to donate, if they can't come in person, if they want to send funds, or if they want to help do a supply drive. And that is a good, quick, and easy way. Really glad that that's up. So I wanted to make sure that people were aware of that. And the next thing that I wanted to mention is that this Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Minnesota State Capitol, MN350 and Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light are hosting an event called We Are All Downstream. They are going to be telling the story of Line 3 and to make it clear to Governor Walz and state agencies that they have failed Minnesotans by allowing Line 3, facilitating climate destruction, and violating treaty rights. So the Minnesota Capitol has seen, about a half a dozen so far, Robert, that you've heard of?
Yeah, and there's more to come.
Yes, there's more to come. Also this weekend, the Shell River Camp that is currently run by Honor the Earth hosted the Standing Rock Runners and the Lummi Nation Totem Pole. The Lummi Nation is moving their totem pole all the way across the U.S. They're a nation from the Northwest Coast, and they are going all the way across the U.S. to Washington, D.C. Its next and last stop before they head on straight to the nation's capital is going to be with our relatives working to stop Line 5 in Michigan. I believe they're going to be stopping in Mackinac. So as soon as we see some footage coming through for that, we will let everybody know, be sharing that out on our social media. What they are asking at the nation's capitals, they're asking Biden again to stop the Line 3 and Line 5 pipelines, as well as the DAPL pipeline, which was ruled illegal and ordered to shut down, but is still in operation illegally. So just a reminder that that's still happening. The GNU Collective was granted their restraining order against the Hubbard County Sheriffs. If you remember, over the last couple of weeks, the Hubbard County was blockading the GNU camp into their private property and issuing citations for using the only driveway that was existent on the, 80-year-old property there. They did win a restraining order against Hubbard County Sheriff. So that is awesome news. They basically said, it turns out that blocking people into their private home is illegal even when you're backed by a giant fossil fuel company like Enbridge. And they are correct. Also this weekend, Red Lake Treaty Camp did erect a blockade, but that did end with over 20 arrests. And multiple tribal members denied the right of access to their treaty land. So that happened, I believe, on the 22nd or the 23rd. And then just today, the most of the 20 were released. So it was the 23rd. Sorry about that. So on the 23rd, Red Lake Treaty Camp had 20 people arrested. And today is now the 26th, and they just had most of them released from Pennington County, Minnesota. It was, I don't know if anybody's seen the footage for that, but the footage was not wonderful. I mean, by not wonderful, I mean it looked really bad for Pennington County. What they had was a group of Native people in ceremony on the site praying for the water and praying for, the relatives in the water and our animal relatives and for Mother Earth. And Pennington County came out with a megaphone and said, you are having an illegal gathering and you need to disperse now or we will arrest you. A group of water protectors joined arms to hold together and to stand strong for their treaty rights and were arrested. Several of them were two-spirit relatives or non-binary relatives, and they were handled very roughly by the police. It was really painful to watch, Robert, right?
It definitely was. I saw a couple angles and pictures. There's some pictures out there, Ogama and Wendy and Lewis, that are very disturbing of their arrest.
Really bad.
I mean, you know, I know you got a couple more minutes here, Ogama, but it's just we look back in the 1980s, the way they treated our relatives and over the uranium in the Black Hills and then Dakota Access Pipeline, Wendy, and now this. It looks all like the same game plan to me.
It is exactly the same, and it's so disheartening. And I know that we were going to have Nancy Bolio on today, and I spoke to her just briefly before we came on the show, and she literally said, this is really disheartening, you know, that we're going through this again and again and again. But in the midst of all that, there has been some really beautiful things that happened this weekend. Like I said, the Shell River Camp hosted the Lummi Nation with the totem pole. The Red Lake Treaty Camp yesterday hosted the runners from Standing Rock and Cheyenne River who had come to support their Anishinaabe relatives. And the Firelight Camp run by Rise Coalition also hosted them this weekend. And they had a really beautiful welcome for them as they came across the bridge. So make sure you check out Rise Coalition to check out that footage too.
Wow, great news. Wow, you know, just being on top of things like this, Wendy, it's just amazing. And we're going to have a little round robin, and we can have people call too at 952-946-6205. That's 952-946-6205. And we're going to talk about our experience up in the deep north and maybe talk a little bit more about the totem pole that we saw with Lewis and Ogama, too. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake's Monday edition with Dr. Stately and the crew. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
In Minnesota, perinatal and postpartum mothers have legal protections to help keep them safe and healthy in the workplace. That means exclusions from heavy lifting, safe spots for breastfeeding, and more. The Women's Economic Security Act protects the rights of pregnant and postpartum women to work safely during pregnancy and to express breast milk at work. The Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry is here to help you and to protect your rights. Call 800-342-5354 or visit dli.mn.gov/newparents.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakun Jahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And they're having a vaccine clinic this Friday, July 30th, from 4 to 6 p.m. You could get your first and second doses of the vaccine. It's available there at the Gustavus Adolphus Lutheran Church, 1669 Arcade Street in St. Paul. So get vaccinated. It's really important for yourself and for others.
German name, Gustavus Adolphus.
I like that.
Adolphus, get that. Well, you know, our next pet.
Isn't it Swedish?
It's all the same, right? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Gustavus Adolphus? I
thought Gustavus was, you're right. I know a Gus, and his name is Gustav, so that's right. Gus, it's our friend Gus.
What is it?
His name's Gustav, so it's Swedish.
Oh, it's Swedish?
Mm. Okay, we've gone down the tunnel here now. All we got to pull ourselves back out of it. And Wendy, what did we do yesterday?
We drove up north to Shell Lake, where they had a camp for line 3 to protest the line, but it wasn't really a protest there. It was just a camp. People were there camping out in the water. There was ceremony. They had a totem pole there that was brought, and Ogama or Lewis could tell us a little bit about the exact meaning of the totem pole. But we were there for a few hours, and it was really wonderful. And we went into the water, and the lake is just the river is just beautiful.
It's so clear.
So clear and beautiful.
Yeah, so we went up there, and there was a ceremony. We won't talk deeply about the ceremony, but it was in honor of the 7 that were arrested. Mm-hmm. And also the people that came with this totem pole, which ends up going all the way to Washington, and Ogama mentioned that during the news. So
it was really too. She said, "Who did the ceremony? That the water were not there for the water; were there with the water, and that the water is really almost a human entity of itself, and it has a soul,
right?
And we're helping the water."
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Instead of, say, water is life, it says she wanted us to say we are life and water is part of us. Life.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Grandma Mary. Lewis and Ogama, you have any comments on that? Wendy and I had a spiritual experience, and we're also able to put our our feet in clean water and see Winona and the crew up there. And it was a good 3-hour drive, and we were there for 3 hours and came back 3 hours. And that's, that's the way I like to do it. So start with Ogama. You want to fill us in, our audience across Turtle Island here, a little bit about the totem pole again?
Yes. Yep. So the totem pole was carved at the Lummi Nation from a 400-year-old red cedar. And its whole purpose right now is to get an urgent call to protect sacred land and water of indigenous people. They're calling the journey the Red Road to D.C., and it should end in early – it said in early June, but it looks like it's gone a little bit later than that, which is okay. Apparently, the pole is supposed to be featured at the Smithsonian National Museum of the American Indian this fall. And it sounds like the head carver and Lummi tribal citizen Jewel Praying Wolf James said that he and a team ranging in age from 4 to 70 carved the pole beginning last winter. So that's really, really impressive how many generations that would be.
It was beautiful, Wendy. Mm-hmm. And
it was. And it was painted just with beautiful colors and everything.
Yeah. And Lewis, can you talk a little bit about the significance? First of all, you know, there's a place that used to be a children's detention center that was called Totem Town here. And I never really put two and two together until they closed it, is that it was kind of a slam about Native Americans. And, of course, you know, the Ojibwe and Lakota, Dakota and Ho-Chunk, we don't have totem poles. So it was like a weirdly named school. But do you have any information that you could give us to our listeners about the significance of totem poles and other tribes and how different other tribes are? Because we're not all the same, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's as weird as the town Orono in Minnesota. Orono is actually named after, a Pebscop chief. And settlers really liked the name Chief Orono from the East Coast and brought it to a suburb of Lake Minnetonka. So, you know, we have that still. So when we think about, you know, a lot of, you know, settler colonialism, it's all in none of it was done to honor any indigenous people. I mean, a lot of it was done, you know, half-hearted. I mean, we, you know, this whole weekend, I mean, we talked about it late last week about the, you know, the Cleveland changing the name to the Guardians. And, you know, you hear it on social media, Robert, you know, people saying that, oh, you know, it was meant to, you know, honor you guys and stuff. But, you know, one thing I really like about this Red Road to DC, redroadtodc.com is where you can find information, is that they're amplifying indigenous activism that otherwise really is vastly ignored around mainstream media. I mean, do you hear this type of stuff on CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, things about Line 3, Line 5? Do you hear that Biden allowed the Dakota Access Pipeline to continue? Do you hear, you know, what's happening in the Black Hills? I mean, you don't hear that. So it's our job to amplify our own voices, and they're doing a really great job.
Yeah, and you are too, and so is Ogama and Wendy talking about our sacred animals. And I guess when we go to things like this, Wendy, it's always really cool to touch base with people who give us a listen and tell us the great work we're doing, and we get to say we're just amplifying, we're just a conduit to really what's going on around Turtle Island. It's not really us.
I was quite impressed as well to see how many people were there at the camp. So
right.
It was
and
really great.
Considering there's four other camps going on too, because there was people that we know that we didn't see because they were at their camp, which is how many camps are up there again, Ogama?
Oh, goodness. How many camps are there? So there's Red Lake Treaty Camp, Firelight Camp, GNU Collectives Camp, Shell Rivers Camp, and then Honor the Earth Camp at the Great River Road in Palisade.
Yep.
And there may be more camps coming soon. I don't have official confirmation of that, but there may be more camps coming, or some of those camps may have to move location.
Yeah, like McGeezy may be moving too. I don't want to start a rumor, but they're in a position where they've already completed the pipeline, so they might be moving around. And I see that Warrior Tasha everywhere up at Red Lake and everywhere, and it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So go. The trip was awesome. The water was good, and then they fed everyone to Wendy before we left with our vegan sandwiches. They were feeding everybody.
But you know, when you're up there and you just see the beauty of the river and the beauty of the land and the trees and the nature, and you just see, you know, it's just so beautiful. That they are, you know, ripping apart the land and digging through this beautiful landscape. It's just
heartbreaking.
It is more than heartbreaking. I couldn't even think of a word more, you know, that describes that. My heart is breaking over it. Yeah.
You know, and one of the things too, Wendy, and I really like when we have Bob Blake from Red Lake on Wednesdays, is he talks about, and I believe this, that we're Native Americans are the last hold out with their culture and protecting and talking about Mother Earth, talking about Father Sky, talking about being star people, talking about our history, you know, whether we were born here, we didn't come from somewhere else. I know Ojibwe have a moving story. We have a creation story, and they moved over here from the east to find food floating on the water, right, Ogama?
Yes, that's correct. There was a prophecy that we should move to the Great Lake or the Great Spirit Lake where the food grows on the water. And also the part of that prophecy was also to protect the Great River, the one that cuts through the earth like a knife. And I know that Nancy and Don have both talked about it, you know, in the prophecy, it says we're supposed to protect that river with our lives. And here we are. And Enbridge has already had multiple frack outs underneath the Mississippi River in the very delicate wetland areas very near to the headwaters of the Mississippi. I mean, this is not a joke for Native people. This is not some way for us to get attention. This is our livelihoods, our history, and our future all intertwined that we're fighting for.
Awesome. Yeah. Hey, we got a call, and we're running low on time. So why don't we grab this call from Amanda from Minneapolis. Amanda, welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You have a question, I see. Go ahead and ask the question.
Yes. So I'm just wondering, as a non-Native, how can we work as allies to help restore treaty rights?
Wow, that's a great question. I'm going to go to Lewis. Lewis, do you have the answer?
I think it's just amplifying indigenous voices, you know, getting involved, finding out what land you're on. And you could do that for many different ways and be involved with amplifying indigenous voices and activists that are out there doing what they need to do. I think that's first and part of it. And, you know, no one can speak for indigenous people like indigenous people. So I'd say, you know, amplify indigenous voices probably first and foremost, and not only that, recognizing that there's existing treaty rights and treaties are, you know, backed by the Constitution of the United States. So I would say that much.
Thank you, Amanda, for the call. And really, Pinigigi, thank you so much for listening and being an ally, which is so, so important, right, Wen?
Absolutely. I'm an ally.
But you are an Indian because you're married to an Indian. So let's get that straight right now, because I'm Ho-Chunk, you're Ho-Chunk, you're my wife. So that's how that works. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next, it's the crew and Dr. Stately. So, Pinigigi, you guys, for jumping in and really amplifying what's happening. Ogama and Lewis and Wendy, of course, always love you. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
This is Greg, host of Ghost Box Radio, to tell you about one of my favorite places in the Twin Cities, Collective Dimensions. They offer a wide range of classes and events to help you on your journey with self-care and spiritual growth. Classes include Reiki, psychic development, tarot, and divination, just to name a few. So Awaken your individual and collective awareness with Collective Dimensions. They will assist you in finding the right tools to help with your spiritual growth and enlightenment. More at CollectiveDimensions.com.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Smart radio for smart people. That's the Tom Hartman program. Listen to me, Tom Hartman, from 11 a.m. to 2 right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, I'm Alicia Luther-Toms, Certified Financial Planner with RBC Wealth Management. I'm part of an all-woman financial advisor team with combined experience of over 40 years. Whether it's leaving something for your loved ones, enjoying your own retirement, or giving to a favorite charity, we'll help you plan, and there's no better time than right now. This is Alicia Luther-Toms at 612-770-4460 or alicia.luther.toms@rbc.com.
RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, member NYSE FINRA, SIPC.
COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, free, and approved for everyone over the age of 12. Need help getting a COVID-19 vaccine? Trusted community connectors can find vaccination sites, make appointments, answer questions, and provide interpretation. To learn more about scheduling a free appointment or find a community connector, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. That's ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for a slight chance of thunderstorms overnight with a low around 70. Then Tuesday into Wednesday, we do have an excessive heat watch in effect, as Tuesday we expect sunny skies and a high near 93. Next Chapter Booksellers in St. Paul is open for in-person browsing again. No appointment is necessary, but masks are required. And if you're not comfortable shopping in person yet, Next Chapter Booksellers still provides free shipping for orders over $50. More at nextchapterbooksellers.com.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. And I just want to mention that COVID vaccine clinic one more time. That's happening on Friday, July 30th from 4 to 6. It's at the Gustavus Adolphus Lutheran Church. I think I just wanted to say that again because it's really cool. 1669 Arcade Street in St. Paul. So go there and get your vaccine. It'll be the Pfizer vaccine, and it's for anybody 12 and over.
They're doing other things there, too. They're taking tests and things like that, too.
You can get a free saliva test, and they have Indian tacos, and individuals who complete a brief survey get a $10 gift card. First come, first serve.
Well, I wonder if I could sneak over there and get my third shot. That sounds pretty awesome.
No.
Well, hey, maybe. It's Monday, and it's a great time to start anew and get updates and from Dr. Stately, who's the CEO of the Native American Community Clinic that we visited and got, hey, we got a free T-shirt, each one of us, and It was awesome to stop by there. And Dr. Stately, welcome as always.
Thank you, Robert and Wendy. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
We're doing great. We're doing great. What things were happening. We went and stopped by. We saw a play. We saw people getting vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And above all, we got some free T-shirts. And you know how I am about free T-shirts, Dr. Stately.
I know, right? So you got a size that fits you well. And
I got one that was a little tight, so I looked buff.
Well, so, you know, you might have to stretch it there. Make it into a crop top. That's all the rage nowadays.
Yeah, that's what I hear. So it was great. It was great. Hey, I was in a meeting today, and I heard, I'm not going to say what tribe, but there's a tribe in Wisconsin, and it's not Ho-Chunk. There's a tribe in Wisconsin that's giving $500 to each tribal member if they get a vaccine, and they've been going gangbusters. Yeah. So I think a lot of nations that have money are looking into that, and also there's that COVID money to help with things like that. Have you heard of any of that going on?
I think a lot of tribes are doing something similar to that, where they're either using some of their COVID relief dollars or other pots of money that they might have to try to incentivize tribal members by, you know, I know my life partner's tribe, his tribe, Crow Creek Sioux Tribe in South Dakota, is giving, I believe, $2,000, I think, maybe, once they're vaccinated and they show their card. But they have to, first they have to prove their tribal enrollees by having their tribal ID card, but then they also have to show their vaccine card from the CDC saying that they had received the vaccine. I think that's I'm in favor of whatever will incentivize people to get vaccinated. You know, if good old common sense doesn't work, there might be some things that help people to make that decision if they're sitting on the fence. I think that what we're seeing happen in communities where there are very low vaccination rates, we are just hearing, you know, that the Delta variant, which is a very, very virulent form of the mutation of the coronavirus. It's not the first mutation, but it's a pretty serious one, that it is very strong, very, they think something like 50% more transmissible than even the B.1.1.2 variant, which is the one that was kind of, you know, overtook London or England, the United Kingdom, a few months ago, earlier in the spring. And, you know, that's concerning to me because we have a lot of young people in our community, both locally and also and we don't have any no children under the age of 12 have been authorized to receive the vaccine yet. And we have a lot of kids in our community, our community by and large, and many of our tribes and also in the urban core are very young. You know, we have a very young community. And so we're at significant risk for having serious illness and potential death of our tribal members if we're not careful about this particular variant. I think anything that we can do to encourage and incentivize people to get the vaccine is a really good thing.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Lewis has got a question. Go ahead, Lewis. We didn't.
We were proponing the town hall yesterday, the Plains, we can do this Indian country. The symposium. I reached out to a couple of people on Rosebud, one of them being a dear friend of mine. And, you know, there was a recent report that Pine Ridge is at 26% vaccination rate and Rosebud is something at like 23%, something like that. They even had to cancel their powwow. Mm-hmm. And she told me a very alarming thing that, look, you know, people are not, they're just, you know, they're apprehensive and they're finding that they have to send tribal police to certain, you know, homes to try to get people, you know, help when they're, you know, deathly ill when they get COVID. And a lot of these elders are staying home, and the next day they go back and the elders passed away. And we're seeing this time and time again, especially in, you know, not only in Lakota country, but around the 574 federally recognized tribes. And I was wondering if you can maybe talk to them like they're listening now and say, hey, what can we do to tell them, look, it's safe. You need to get vaccinated. We need to do it for our children. We need to do it for our elders.
Well, I mean, yeah, that is disturbing news to hear for sure. I guess what I can say is I, as somebody who was sick and who got sick with COVID and spent a week in the hospital during the week of Thanksgiving and was terrified of not being able to see my children again, I just don't want to have that experience again. I work in healthcare, and I've seen the impact that the virus has had within our health system. I've seen the impact that it had in my clinic. I've seen the impact that it's had in our community, and then also all across the nation. I track the numbers. I look at the reports, when it came time to get my own children vaccinated, I didn't pause at all. I think I remember saying to, admitting to this publicly on this radio station that I was even trying to think of a way in which to sort of like circumvent, you know, and get my kids who are 14 years old, like sneak them into the 16 and above, anonymous vaccine event they were having a few months back. But then I was like, well, that might not be really great optics. I probably shouldn't do that. But the point being is, as a parent, like I wanted to do every single thing I could to protect my children. My children play in sports. We live in kind of a purple county, which is half red and half blue. And, you know, there's lots of families out here in Prior Lake that, you know, that are, are on the one side of the political fence than the other. And they tend to not think that their vaccinations are important, and they have all kinds of other reasons for not wanting to be motivated. And I live in this community, and I was going to do everything and anything I could to protect my children. We went to Sundance this weekend, and we were required to show our vaccine cards to be at Sundance in South Dakota. And, you know, I seen and saw a lot of people walking around Walmart, no masks on, coughing and hacking and just doing all kinds of, you know, crazy public health stuff down there. And what I would tell you is that, you know, one of my kids ended up getting sick, and so did my partner. And the first thing I wanted to do today was go get them tested, because the Delta variant has the potential to break through even vaccination. So we're going to get our family tested to just make sure and have peace of mind. But the other part of it is that, you know, it doesn't, as somebody who had it and lived through it and ended up in the hospital and had to lay in the hospital for 5 or 6 or 7 days and wonder if I'm going to get home to see my children, I don't want to ever take that chance. Like I'll take any amount of chance not to have that experience again. Because without a vaccine, you have pretty much zero protection. We're seeing this all over in states where there's no vaccination or very low vaccination rates. The Delta variant is just kind of ripping through those states and through those communities. And they are seeing rates of hospitalization and death that rival where we were 6 to 9 months ago. So I don't know what more evidence people need, but I would just really like, if you have somebody that you love and somebody that you care about who live in these communities, who live in our community, encourage them to get the vaccine. Beg them, you know, offer to buy them an Indian taco. Whatever will, you know, lots of people can't get it because they don't have gas or they don't have a ride or they don't have this or that. Like, offer to drive them to get a vaccine. Whatever it takes. We are such small nations compared to the rest of the population of the United States. And we were hit really hard in this first wave of the pandemic. We cannot afford to lose any more people. We cannot afford to lose people. We lose people, and we lose our elders, and we lose our children. These are our most precious gifts to us from the Creator, our children. We must do something to protect them. We absolutely must. It's an imperative.
Well, absolutely, Dr. Stately. Do you have time? We got another segment here and for another segment with us. That's awesome. And we have some breaking news up that we're going to get to just before we get back with you in the fourth segment. But you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm Robert Pilot, and we're with Dr. Stately and the crew here on Monday. And I know one of the things, again, I was in a meeting today, and I heard something pretty cool, is that somebody demanded to hear what was in the vaccine, and they broke it down for them. And it was just really awesome information, because there's no, like, bats or anything.
There's worse things than a hot dog.
Oh, believe me.
I promise you.
Don't use that as an example.
It's
but
true,
yeah,
though.
No.
It's true.
Right, exactly. Hey, you're listening to the Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We'll be right back after this short break with Dr. Stately.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on stronghartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I just got pictures sent for me from Dr. Stately up at Red Lake. And Ogama, can you give us a quick update what's going on up there?
Yeah, so I had a good friend who lives in Bemidji saying that she's hearing reports that there was a tornado on the Red Lake Nation. I reached out to some family up there, and it looks like so far there's no reports of any injuries, but there is quite extensive hail damage happening. It looks like it snowed there. The hail was really heavy. There's a lot of vehicles with busted windows, a lot of homes with busted windows, blown out windows. So prayers to everybody on Red Lake Nation right now. It looks like it's heading towards Deer River, and it might hit in southern Minnesota later today as well. So make sure if you're in Minnesota that you are looking out for tornado watches and making sure to pray and take care of your relatives if you're going to have severe weather.
Yeah, thank you for that update. And Ogama, it's really interesting. Dr. Stately sent me some pictures. He's on top of this too. And I know Wendy likes doing the weather, but how about you, Dr. Stately? That's crazy what you sent me those pictures.
In my earlier life, I wanted to be a weather girl.
It's never too late.
It's never too late. It's true. Oh. I could get a crop top from Robert and get my
We only got smalls left.
I'm just using. But No, that just actually, I got those pictures from my Ashley Jolin, my operations manager from NAC. She had heard from her family, but right before getting on the radio here, I had seen the news and they were talking about that storm moving through there. And they had just talked about seeing a an active tornado, funnels in the clouds, but not yet touching the ground. But they had already reports, significant reports of wind damage and overturned trees and, you know, damaged roofs and cars from hail and stuff like that. So the most important thing in this cold scenario, of course, is to keep your eyes out and your ears out and, you know, help your relatives if they don't have televisions or radios or weather radios, and, you know, help them know to move indoors and be safe. And it looks like the path is moving kind of slowly to the south and to the east. It's probably going to hit Duluth on the north end and maybe as far possibly south as the Twin Cities on the south end.
Wow, that's really crazy. And, you know, we want to definitely give out prayers to our relatives and people up there. And then also the water protectors up there, because I know they don't have hard roofs on their tents. And
there's no Wi-Fi. So for them to get news and to find out about this and to be able to take cover is going to be hard for them.
Yeah. So thanks for those updates, both you and Ogama, Anthony and Ogama.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice, and Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh, my God.
I want to give the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition a shout out.
Oh, look, there's a wolf right there.
Oh, whoa. Dr. Steele.
She was unimpressed with the howls.
Yeah, no doubt. We've been doing
it
for years.
That's a beautiful dog.
Yeah, really.
She might be tired.
So we got a few minutes, and you know, you have a great crew, and what, like I said, Wendy and I were up visiting NADCE when they were doing that youth thing, and we had a play. I saw a student of mine. It was awesome. Got a selfie because I'm the selfie king. And it was just run so well. And I think that's what's impressive about not only NACI, but all the Native American communities all over Turtle Island, and really taking care of their people in a good way, in a really good way.
Yeah, just we need to get more people vaccinated. So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely do. I think, you know, and I know that people are struggling with the organizations across the country are struggling. I know that health systems and those things are struggling with the decisions about whether or not, you know, whether or not to like mandate that their staff and their employees get vaccinated. And and I absolutely understand like the challenges around some of that, some of those things. NAC is wrestling with that conversation right now. We had some of this discussion at, among the leadership over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, The VA just announced that they are requiring all of their patient-serving staff to get vaccinated by August 9th, I believe.
Yeah, Sanford Health.
At the end of August. They have 8 weeks, essentially, to get it done, I think, by the before September something or other. But they have to take, like, you know, 8 weeks because they have to do it in 4 week successions. But the point being is that I mean, that's one of the largest health serving organizations in the country, you know, making this bold move about requiring patient serving medical staff getting vaccinated. And I think it's the responsible thing to do, quite frankly. You know, if you're in healthcare and you are equivocating on whether or not you should get a vaccine because you're unsure of the safety of it, then, you know, you should consider maybe a different career.
No.
That one that doesn't require you to be serving patients who are also vulnerable, potentially vulnerable and can possibly get sick from you if you should not be choosing for yourself personally to not get sick. There's a difference between having a personal sort of decision to make and an ethical responsibility that's part of your profession. And I know those are challenging conversations to have. We're having them now myself in my own organization. I know a lot of other organizations have to make the same decisions. I just think from the perspective of if you're an organization that's providing direct care or services to Native people, or especially Native children, then you should be doing everything you can to protect them, including if you yourself personally have some challenge that prevents you from wanting to get vaccinated, then the responsible thing is to also not be in front of people that you can potentially infect. So,
well, one of the things I asked Wendy about, because Wendy's one of the things I was asking Wendy about a couple days ago, and maybe you can amplify this too. Wendy, do you remember that question I had when I heard that once this certain organization okays the drug, there will be more mandating
right.
Do you remember?
You said something like once the FDA approves the vaccine,
of the drug. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So right now it's under emergency authorization approval, mm-hmm. but I think that people are of the opinion that once the FDA says, yes, this is a safe drug and it's approved for, you know, just general consumption, then there will be some more moves to actually require it nationwide as part of public health and safety. It will be unfortunate that it will take many more people, possibly lots and lots of children getting sick and dying before that happens. And that kind of is a heartbreaker for me.
It's a big heartbreaker. And, you know, one of the things too, just with little old me, I love baseball, but I still don't feel comfortable about going to watch the Twins or the Saints. Even though I'm vaccinated, I just don't feel like sitting through 3 hours of a game with somebody that might be not vaccinated right next to me. I don't know. I just feel totally that way. You got 10 seconds, Ogama. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm the parent of a child under the age of 12 who can't yet get vaccinated. So even though me and my partner and all of our family, our adult family's vaccinated, I have my daughter and my nephew here that are both 8, and I have to make sure I'm being safe for them.
Wow, really good point.
Sure. By the way, I couldn't tolerate sitting through a baseball game even without a pandemic.
Easy, easy.
That's because you're a hockey fan, right?
That's right.
That is true. Yeah. That's absolutely
Wait a minute. What's that old Rodney Dangerfield line? Hey, I was at a boxing match and a hockey game broke out. Isn't that the old line? Do you remember that one? I regress. It's the end of the show. Dr. Stately, Pini Gigi for being on as always. This is always fun. We always have a smile on her face when we know Dr. Stately's going
to be really good advice that people need to hear. So thank you. Thank you.
Pini Gigi. Hey, I would like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to mask up and get the vaccine and resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. Pini Gigi to Louis Ogama and our special guest every Monday, Dr. Stately. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop Line 3. Please get vaccinated.